The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right. Hey, we're going to be jumping back into our study in Ephesians. Excited about it. So if you have a bulletin, you can take notes, write some stuff down. Going to be some good stuff this morning. We're actually going to cover a lot of ground, 11 verses. I rarely speak out of a text that's that long. It's usually 3-4 verses. There's always so much. But this time I felt that it really needed to cover all of this ground. And so it's not going to take longer. It's just that we're not going to focus on every detail in these 11 verses. We're going to focus on the main theme that runs through these 11 verses. And we're actually in chapter 3, which is a milestone. we've been on this series, I think, for 6-7 weeks, maybe. And we just entered into chapter 3 of Ephesians, and it's going to be pretty cool. There's some exciting things that God has for us. Before we do that, what I'd like to do is just kind of remind you of the theme of Ephesians. And one of the reasons that I really like to kind of keep this in front of you is because if you are kind of looking at the book of Ephesians with the theme in mind, then it's easier for you to identify those themes when they come up in the verses. Does that make sense? You can see this theme running through the book of Ephesians. And so our theme is God has designed and called us for a perfectly planned purpose as individuals and together as His church to live out His truth in our society and live it well. We added the live well because we believe that that describes the life that God would have us live. So with this theme, we're going to come into, and by the way, we talked about the key verse of Ephesians a couple weeks ago. And so we kind of centered in on that thought. And from there, we're flowing into something that's I think is going to kind of expand on that key verse that talks about us being God's masterpiece. Because today, my message title actually is Unveiling the Masterpiece. Unveiling the Masterpiece. When I think of unveiling something, I think of an artist's work that he's put a lot of time and effort and maybe even money, but mostly sweat into. And it's at some sort of museum or exhibition, and it's covered with a cloth, and no one can see what it is. No one knows what it is until it's been revealed. The cloth has been pulled off of it, and all of a sudden the masterpiece is in full view of everybody in the room. So that's what I kind of think of. Now, when I think of a masterpiece, I don't necessarily think of a sculpture. I think of a painting. And when I was a kid, I used to watch PBS, and it had some pretty good painters on PBS. I don't even know the name of the program. I don't even know if it was the same program every week. But one guy that would paint, he had big bushy hair. Anybody know what his name is? I have no idea. There you go. And so I would watch him paint, and there was another guy that was an older gentleman. It was balding and a little bit stocky, and he would, as he would paint, they both did this, actually. They would talk kind of softly. You know, they're making strokes on the canvas, and they're kind of talking about what they're doing, and sometimes they're not even talking about the painting. And so they would totally throw me off. By the way, as a kid, we had a black and white TV, so I would have loved to have seen, I'm pretty sure it was amazing if you had a color TV. But, and by the way, they had color TVs out at that time, okay? We just didn't own one. We actually only owned a TV for a short period of time, and then my mom one day threw it down the stairs. She saw something she didn't like on TV, and so she literally took the TV and just threw it down the stairs. And so after the anger management classes, but that really did happen. I don't know what it was. I think she was, my parents had kind of, they're like the last ones to get a touch tone phone, only because they couldn't get a rotary phone anywhere else. And the microwave was unheard of in our house. We got a microwave when, I think when I was like a sophomore in college, and I didn't even know we had a microwave. I come home from college, I'm like, we've got a microwave! And my family's like, that's so old news. I'm like, well, when did you guys join this decade of technology? But anyway, so watching this on the black and white TV, and I'm seeing the strokes and noticing that this painter, he has this big, what's the official word for it? Not easel. That palette? Yes, and he's got all these colors. And then he's got his brushes, and his brushes just look nasty. I mean, you know, they've got his hand marks, they've got paint on them, on the brushes. He's got paint all over himself. He's not only painting, but he's also using his palette knife, and he's chiseling things into his painting. And it's amazing. And it starts out with just a few lines, and you really can't tell what it is yet. And I'm trying to figure it out the whole time. I'm thinking, okay, he started with a horizontal line. It's got to be a sunset or you know, something that would bring those kind of lines. And then all of a sudden, I start to see a reflection of something that's not actually in the painting yet. And I'm like, wait a second, it's a lake. I'm figuring it out as I'm watching him paint. And I'm realizing that this guy is creating a masterpiece. Maybe not his greatest work, but for me, a little kid watching PBS, there's not a whole lot else going on in my life, obviously. But for me, it's pretty cool to see that painting come to life. And so in these next 11 verses that we're going to look at in chapter 3 of Ephesians, we're going to be talking about the masterpiece that God is painting, the unveiling of this masterpiece. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this passage. God, thank you so much that we can be a part of this. God, I thank you that as we open your word this morning, it never happens that we open your word and you don't speak to us. But Father, sometimes we're not listening. And so I pray, Father, this morning that you would open our ears, open our minds, our hearts to everything you have for us. God, I pray that our time in these 11 verses will be rich and full, and that we'll walk away this morning knowing more about you and more about the master plan that you have for our lives. I thank you, God, that you have thought of us and included us in that plan. And God, I can't wait to see this unveiled this morning. Thank you, God. And once again, as I speak this morning, I pray that my words would be your words. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at this passage. So it's Ephesians 3, starting with verse 1. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I've written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wow. It's a lot of stuff. And you can see just from reading it that there's so much there. The first thing I kind of want to focus on is that when Paul starts this passage out, do you realize what he calls himself? He says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was in prison. He was actually in a Roman prison at the time. Paul did a lot of writing from prison. They didn't have a weight room. And so he just wrote. And he would write to the churches that he had planted. He would write to the churches that he had encouraged to start. And he would write to the churches that he was leading. And these epistles that he wrote, or letters, are recorded for us in the New Testament. Not all of them, because actually, even in this book, he makes reference to a letter that we don't have. And so Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he describes himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Not a prisoner of Rome, but a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Do you find that fascinating? That here he is sitting in a jail cell, held captive by this government, and he's not saying, guys, I'm sitting in prison. The food is terrible. It's an awful place to be. No, he doesn't emphasize the fact that he's in chains in a Roman prison. He says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus has captured my heart. I'm his, and he's mine. That's how Paul starts this out. And he begins to describe to them that there's this mystery that's been hidden for quite some time. And then he says, but guess what? It's no longer a mystery. It's no longer a mystery because God has chosen me to share it with you. And therefore, it's being unveiled. So my first point that I want you to take with you this morning is this. God's plan is no mystery. God's plan is no mystery. Now, I've said it before that when you go to the Bible, God has not given us a book that's designed to be confusing or secretive or mysterious. There's not like all these hidden things that have to be unlocked from the scriptures necessarily. But as you read God's word and as you spend time with God, you're going to begin to understand a little more about what God's trying to tell you through his word. But it's all there for you. It's all available. It's just waiting for you to search it out. It's waiting for you to read it, to come to those places and discover what it is that God has for you in his word. So, first thing Paul says is God's plan is no mystery. It was a mystery at one time, but now it's no longer a mystery. He says in verse 5, God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it. This word reveal is kind of interesting. I think you'll get a kick out of it. It's the Greek word, apokalupto. Anybody heard that word before or something that sounds like it? Apocalypse. When you think of apocalypse, what's the first thing you think of? Zombies. Bob said end times, and I said zombies. The pastor. It frightens me, actually, that young people today are more prepared for a zombie apocalypse than they are for like a college experience or for a career or future. Seriously, they know. They know what's going to... Matter of fact, the CDC had on their website at one point... the Center for Disease Control, they had on their website how to survive a zombie apocalypse. No lie. It was on, I think it's probably still on there. You can check it out. And so they kind of used it as a funny way to get people's attention and to kind of describe what you do in a natural disaster or an unnatural disaster. but we get the word apocalypse from this word, reveal. And what I find interesting about it is that the word apocalypse doesn't actually mean this awaiting disaster. It doesn't actually mean widespread destruction or the end of the world or zombies. That's not necessarily what the word apocalypse means. The word actually means a revelation, something that's revealed, that's been hidden. And the meaning for it has kind of been adapted over time because when you think of a revelation, you think of the book of Revelation, and people automatically connect the book of Revelation with widespread destruction, when the reality is the book of Revelation is the final act of God's plan being revealed. And it's glorious. It's amazing. Matter of fact, a plug for the book of Revelation. It's the only book in the Bible that promises the reader a blessing if you read it. So, maybe no zombies in there, but I don't know. Look for them. Might be an incentive to read the book of Revelations. So apokalupto means to remove the veil or covering and expose to open view what was once hidden. So understand what's happening here. Paul is saying, okay, here's the mystery. The mystery is the fact that God has not revealed this to you until now. See, when God began his plan, he chose a people that he was going to work through, the Hebrew people. And God said, you're going to be my people, you're going to love me, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to work through you to reach the entire nations. And at one point, the Hebrew people, not all of them, they were followers of Jesus, or of God, but at one point, they turned their backs on God. And God said, okay, now the mystery that's been obvious to the Hebrew people is now going to be revealed to the Gentiles. Whenever you see the word Gentiles in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, it just refers to anybody who's not a Hebrew. Anybody who's not a Jew is considered a Gentile. It just means someone who's of a different background, a different nationality, coming from a different place, not necessarily in the inner circle. And so that's us. That's us. God has revealed the mystery, which is his plan of redemption for mankind. It's been revealed and made available to us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that great mystery that's being revealed. But because of his great love for us, God has given us the unparalleled privilege to know his master plan. God has given us insight into his master plan. It's all here in the scriptures. He's given us a way to see what it is that he's doing, the big picture of what God is doing. And, you know, we're so focused on the temporal, on the immediate, the things that are happening right now, that a lot of times we overlook the big picture. But God has given us an opportunity to see his master plan, the big picture. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 says, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Think about that. Think about the fact that God's mysterious plan that he revealed to us is something that he had planned all along, and it was for our glory, for our benefit. That's the mystery. So what is this mystery? Let's explore a little bit more about this. The second thing I see that I'd like for you to take with you this morning is God's plan includes us. So God's plan is no mystery. God's plan includes us. Look at verse 6. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. God's plan includes us. We've been invited in. See, not only did God reveal his master plan to us, but we have been invited into it. So he hasn't just given us a picture of it. He hasn't just said, okay, let me give you a broad idea of where I'm going. No, he's actually said, I invite you to step into this plan. Once a mystery to you, now revealed, and now I'm actually inviting you to step into this plan. So we have that invitation from God to where we can enter in. Invited not just as a guest, but as a guest of honor. Have you ever been invited someplace, maybe to a party, and you felt at the party that if you weren't there, nobody would even notice? Has that ever happened to you before? So you just go to the buffet table and go to town? And you're like, hey, they don't know I'm here anyway. But have you been invited somewhere where you're the guest of honor? Where all eyes are on you, and they're just like, wow, we're so glad you came. We're so thankful. We're so grateful that you're here. Every year we do a Campus Life Awards ceremony to recognize students that have done amazing things in our schools in the Imperial Valley. And we always invite a family, the Baker family, and they are guests of honor at this event. Because there's actually an award that memorializes their kids who passed away over a decade ago. But they had an incredible impact on their campus for Jesus. Some of you actually know Chris and Renee, the two young people that died so young. And so every year we remember them, And every year we invite their parents to come and be a part of that ceremony. They're our guest of honor. The event would not be the same without them. Here's the thing you need to understand. God has not only given you the privilege of seeing his master plan, but he's invited you to step into it as his guest of honor. Without you, this plan would not be the same. How do I know that? Because a God who has every detail intricately planned certainly is going to notice if you're not at the party. Yeah, that's right. God's plan includes us. Romans 8:17. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. So not only are we guests invited in, but we're actually adopted and become heirs. The inheritance is ours. Do you have a rich uncle? If you do, we should talk after the service. Just make sure we're not related some way. To be heir to something, to know that it's going to be yours because you're next in line. That's what we're talking about. That's the privileged position that God invites us in to become a part of his plan as heirs. And you heard the verses, all those promises, all those blessings that were intended for God's people, the Hebrews, those blessings and those promises are extended to us. They're ours. We're a part of it. So God's plan includes us. Look at Titus 3, verse 7. Pretty accurately describes how that happens. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The inheritance that we receive from being a part of this master plan is, first of all, being justified by his grace, having our sin erased, having forgiveness, no longer living under that burden and that guilt and the penalty that we deserve for our sin. Now, we've been justified. That's an incredible blessing alone. But there's more. According to the hope of eternal life. Remember we talked about the word hope several weeks ago? We talked about how it's not just grabbing at straws. It's not just saying, oh man, I really, really, really hope this happens. No, it's confirmed. It's going to happen. It's a sure thing. Eternal life. Living for eternity with Jesus. Living for eternity in the presence of God. That is our inheritance. That's what we receive as heirs. Are you beginning to understand how important you are in this master plan? Important enough that God would say, okay, I'm going to make you an heir. And not only am I going to make you an heir and you're going to receive all the blessings and promises, the inheritance, but you're also going to have this eternal existence with God himself, the one who put this plan in motion. That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. So God's plan includes us. Third thing I want you to take with you this morning is that we are participants in his plan. Okay, so first of all, his plan has been revealed to us. It's no longer a mystery. Secondly, it includes us as heirs. We receive all the benefits of it. And now thirdly, we are participants in his plan. We have an active role in God's plan. If you thought it was amazing that you were an heir and that you received an inheritance, think of this. God is actually, his plan is to use you in a specific way in the big picture. God's masterpiece. I think that's pretty amazing. We are participants in his plan. Look what it says in verses 10 through 11. It says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church, that's you, that's me, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay, so what I want you to do is picture in your mind a massive canvas. Okay, do you got it? I mean, it's towering over you. It's huge. And it's about to have the most incredible painting painted on it. And there's brushes in the room. There's a palette with all these colors, and there's brushes. And some of the brushes are a little wider for wide strokes, and some of them are pinpointed for details. But it's all there. It's all set. It's ready. And there's a brush that's moving one at a time. The brushes are moving, and they're painting a picture. It's God's masterpiece. Where do I get that idea of a painting? Where do I get that from? Check this out. I think you're going to like this a lot. Look at this word where it says rich variety. Rich variety. The word is in some versions, it's the word manifold. The manifold wisdom of God. Manifold. The Greek word is kind of a goofy sounding word. Polypoikilos. Polypoikilos. Kind of sounds a little bit like polka dot. Polypoikilos. What does it mean? Let's break it down a little bit here. So you have the root word, which is poikilos, which means made up of a variety of colors. Made up of a variety of colors. Then you add the prefix to it, the polu. You've heard the prefix in English language, poly, which means many. It's the same thing. And so it means marked with a great variety of colors, as in a detailed painting. Marked with a great variety of colors, as in a detailed painting. So the idea here is that God's masterpiece, this epic canvas that's being painted on, this incredible masterpiece that God is shaping and creating and designing with his own hand, there's a lot of colors here. There's many. There's a great variety. Look what it says. It says, to display his wisdom in its rich variety. What do you think this variety of colors is? It's us. It's God's people. It's our individual lives and the influence that we're going to have on the master plan according to God's will. The things that he has planned out. And so some of us maybe will be painting in yellows and oranges. Maybe some of us will be painting in darker colors and grays and blues. But understand this, that every stroke that is placed on this painting is there by design. It's none of it's an accident. I mean, the artist is actually taking the brush, which is you, in his hand, and he's making the stroke on the canvas. So nothing is going on this canvas that was not intended to be there. And you need to understand that, because if God is inviting you to come into his plan, to be a part of his masterpiece, and he's asking you to be an active role in his masterpiece, you have to understand how vitally important your part is in God's plan. See, if you don't understand that, then you're not going to understand the rest of the book of Ephesians. You have to get this. You have to know that God has this intricate plan for your life. He's weaved it into his tapestry. He's painted you in to his masterpiece. And so you're a part of it. You're a part of it. Not only did God invite us into his master plan, but he is actively using us to create an exhibition of his glory. And who is the audience? Who is at this great unveiling of this masterpiece? Okay, we're the brushes. We're the active part in the masterpiece. We, with God's power and God using us, have been used to create this masterpiece. Who's it being unveiled to? Who's there to witness this incredible work of art? God's masterpiece. Look what it says. To all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Think about that. God is doing this because he is bringing glory to himself, using you to bring glory to himself, and he's displaying it for the heavenly hosts, for all the angels, for all of God's creation that we can't see, which, by the way, is much, much bigger than the physical. The spiritual birthed the physical, and so obviously the spiritual realm is much, much bigger, and it's a place where we're going to spend eternity, and God is revealing his masterpiece so that he can show his glory to his heavenly creatures, to the angels. And I believe not just the angels, but even to the demons, because they're aware of what's going on. They have an understanding of God's master plan. They're not on board with it, but they know what's happening, and they know the part that you play in it. And that's why the enemy is going to try to use whatever tactic he can think of, whatever technique he might come up with to derail you from being a part of God's master plan, to sidetrack you from being a part of this painting, to steal the paintbrush, so to speak. And so God, because he has so organized this and he so planned it out and it's so intricate and it's so amazing, it does nothing but show how incredibly wise he is. And so his manifold wisdom, made with a variety of colors, which is us, that is what is displaying God's glory before the rulers and authorities in heaven. Isn't that incredible? To know that that's the purpose, that's the reason that we're here on earth. And God's given us directives that while we're here. He's given us ways that we can know for certain that we're a part of his plan and that we're doing the things he's called us to do. He's given us steps. He's given us instructions. All things that we need to pay attention to if we're going to be a part of this master plan, of this beautiful painting, this masterpiece that he has created. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "So all of us, having no veil over our faces, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is a spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." See this transformation that's happening? If you have a relationship with Jesus, if Jesus is in your heart, he's a part of your life, you're going through a transformation process that never stops until the day you die, until the day you pass from the physical into the spiritual, which is the ultimate goal, because that's where we want to be, because that's where we're going to be for eternity with God. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us, is held in a perishable container. That is our weak bodies." Do you feel weak sometimes? Do you feel not up to the task? God knows that. God understands that. As a matter of fact, Paul, in this passage, a point that we kind of passed over as we reread through these 11 verses, but let me just remind you of it here. It's not going to be on the screen. Paul says, "Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege." Though I'm the least deserving. Do you think Paul had an understanding of what it means to have a weak body? Maybe not physically, but to not be up to the task? I mean, think about what Paul did. Before Jesus saved him and brought him into this plan, he was a persecutor of God's people. He was killing followers of Christ. He was separating families. He was imprisoning people that worship Jesus. And Paul says, "I don't even deserve to be in the place that I'm in. I don't deserve to be here. I'm the least deserving of this." Jesus came to him in a blinding light and said, "Whatever you're doing that you think you're doing for good, you're actually hurting me." And he said, "From this day forward, you're no longer going to do that. You're no longer going to be Saul of Tarsus. You're going to be Paul, an apostle that I'm gifting and I'm sending out to plant churches and to do all these amazing things." And Paul says, "I didn't deserve that." He never got over it. He never got over the fact that God chose him, even though he was the least likely candidate for the job. And so ask yourself, am I worthy? Am I in a place where I'm really equipped for this? Do I deserve it? The answer is yes. God has extended this invitation to you. He's invited you into his plan. You're deserving of it because he loves you with an unconditional love. A love that doesn't say, okay, you did this thing wrong, therefore you've been disqualified. No, his love says, okay, you did this thing wrong, but guess what? My son Jesus paid for that. He paid the penalty for that. And therefore I look at you and you're perfect. You're righteous in my eyes, and you're certainly qualified to be a part of this master plan, to be painted into this masterpiece. That's who we are. That's who God has invited us to be. finish reading this verse. Everyone can see that the glorious power within us must be from God and is not our own. The weakness that you're feeling, the feelings of not deservingness, of not being qualified, God's actually using that for his glory. Because if God had chosen someone that was in a prominent position that had influence over great numbers of people, it wouldn't be so amazing that the church spread in just a few short years from just a small handful of people to hundreds and thousands of believers all across Asia Minor. And do you realize that the church at Ephesus was actually the beginning of that whole process? And so as Paul's talking to these people, he knows exactly where they're pinpointed on this canvas, on this masterpiece, and he's saying, you've been invited into this, and you're actually the beginning of this huge plan, and it's something that's continuing on to this day, and we're all a part of it. If we have a relationship with Jesus, if you've stepped into the plan that God has for your life, you're a part of this. You're a part of his plan. You're a participant in God's plan. 1 Corinthians 10:31, I want to end with this verse. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now that you know you have purpose, now that you know that you've been designed and called for this purpose, and now that you know that regardless of your past, regardless of anything that might disqualify you, God has said, yes, you deserve this. This is where I want you to be. I've handpicked you. I've called you. Now that you know that, the way you live your life should be completely different. This should change everything that you do. Understanding that if you could just step back, and obviously God's painting, his masterpiece, is so big, and we're standing about 2 inches from the canvas. And so we really can't see what God is doing all over the world. We really can't see what God's doing in the scheme of history. But we know in the present time, we know what God's doing in our lives, and we know what God's doing in the lives of the people around us. And so if we could just take a step back and begin to try to see things through God's eyes and understand that we're a part of this incredible, massive master plan, I think it'll change the way we live. When we understand that when God picks us up and applies the brush that is us to the canvas and makes that stroke, when we understand that that is planned and he never, ever does that by accident, he doesn't come back and go, oh man, I got to paint over that. That's terrible. He doesn't do that because it's part of his master plan. It's a display of God's wisdom, a God who knows everything and understands everything and brought everything into existence. And so he's not going to make mistakes like that. And so this morning, maybe you're here and you've never stepped into this master plan of God's. Maybe you're here and you've been on the outside of that. Do you hear God's invitation? Do you hear him calling you and saying, come in, come into this plan, become a part of it? If this morning you've never given your heart to Jesus, that's God's invitation to you. It's an invitation to, as we talked earlier, being forgiven, being released from the burden and the penalty of sin, and stepping into God's beautiful plan that he has for your life.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.